My friends, in Jesus' grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Again, these two parables of our Lord from the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Mark. And Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up, and becomes larger than all the garden plants, and puts out large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." This is the word of God. Please be seated. A question I think that every pastor struggles with is the question, does preaching do any good? I think for pastors it's probably a chronic vocational crisis, really, because you look at all the lives of people that are seemingly, and I say seemingly, unchanged by what you preach over the years of your career, it's easy to conclude that sermons are a waste of time. And I know that preachers today are not the only ones who have ever asked that question of themselves. In Jeremiah chapter 7, God said to his prophet, "So you shall speak all these words to them, but they will not listen to you." So Jeremiah must have also wondered if preaching does any good. But the real question isn't what we think, but what God thinks and what Jesus thinks. And in our gospel reading today, Jesus answers this question by saying, essentially, whether preaching does any good or not is really not your concern. For the kingdom of God sprouts and grows on its own. On its own. And this is how. The kingdom is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and he sleeps and rises day and night. The seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. The earth produces by itself. Back in the days of Jesus, when it was time to plant the field, the farmer would sow the seed by hand, scatter it. He would walk around in the field with a seed bag tied to his waist, and he would just scatter the seed to the wind. Now, earlier in this same chapter, Jesus told the more famous parable of the sower and the seed. You remember how the sower scattered the seed onto the different kinds of soil. Some fell on the hard earth along the path where the birds snatched it away before it even had a chance to sprout. Some fell on rocky soil where the seeds initially sprouted, but they quickly wilted in the heat of the sun and died for lack of any good roots. Other seed fell among the weeds where they were quickly choked out. But some of the seed fell on good soil and it produced a plentiful crop. And then Jesus tells this parallel parable, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. And what I noticed in both of these parables of sowers is that these farmers, these sowers of the seed, are not the least bit anxious about what that seed may or may not do. They don't, first of all, test the soil or send off soil samples to a lab somewhere to find out how receptive or productive that soil may or may not be. These sowers of the seed in our Lord's parables, they don't even prepare the soil. They just take the seed and they scatter it. And they don't worry about where it lands or what it may or may not produce. And the reason they're not worried is because they know their place. They know that the growth of the seed is God's work, not theirs, and that their vocation is simply to scatter that seed about. Well, the seed we're talking about here today is the Word of God, who is Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. As an infant, Jesus came into this world like a little mustard seed. And yet within that tiny seed dwells the fullness of the Godhead, with life unconquerable and having salvation. Who would have ever thought that after this seed died, and was buried into the earth, that his kingdom would sprout and spread and grow to become such a large plant, the largest of them. But this is what Jesus had said in John chapter 12. He said, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. That is a prediction by our Lord of how his kingdom would come and how it would grow. When he, the seed of the word, would die and be buried into the earth and then sprout forth again in resurrection life. And then as his apostles and pastors and missionaries and teachers went out to the corners of the globe to scatter that seed into the heart's soil of all who would listen, God would give that seed the growth. They knew not how, but they trusted. Until that smallest of seeds became larger than any other garden plant. The worldwide church of Jesus Christ, with branches aplenty, where God's people can rest in the shade of his loving and forgiving and redeeming grace, such as we are doing here today on our little branch of that tree. Now, just imagine. John Lennon liked to sing Imagine, right? Just imagine. If a congregation like ours took this parable seriously. Imagine all the members of St. John Lutheran Church trusting the power of that seed and sowing that word of Christ recklessly in our circles of influence without concern for where that seed might fall. We would tell others of our Lord Jesus, not worrying about who hears it or whether somebody is ready to hear it, trying to make those kinds of judgments or how they might respond to us. We would simply scatter the seed of Christ's word, knowing that not all of it, but some of that seed is going to grow all by itself. But of course, as we just sang in this hymn, Satan has a few seeds of his own to scatter about to hinder the work of Christ's kingdom. He sows within us the seeds of fear, the fear that people may reject us or make fun of us for what we believe and confess, or the fear maybe of not knowing what to say if somebody asks us a question. And so we quietly hide away here in our little Christian corner at UN16, skulking in silence. Another seed that Satan sows within us is the seed of doubt. We doubt that that seed will really do what God says it will do. St. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, he said, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God caused the growth. God caused the growth. But based on our experience, especially in the Western Hemisphere these days, we often doubt that word because the church seems to be shrinking. So instead of sowing the seed in faith and trusting, we doubt and we act from unbelief and we hold on to the seed ourselves. Yet other seeds that Satan scatters and about and sows into us are the seeds of pride and confusion, and they go hand in hand. Because you see, we want to see God's kingdom grow, so much so that when it's not growing like we think it ought to, like we'd like it to grow, then we lose patience with God's ways, we doubt the power of the seed, and then we imagine in our pride that we have to step in and take over for God, that we make the kingdom grow by our efforts, by our cunning, by our manipulation. And so we have to get the right programs in place. We need better advertising campaigns. We need a nicer website. We need better facilities, pop music style in worship perhaps, this, that, the other thing. And it's not that these things are necessarily wrong, if, as Paul says to the Philippians, they are true, first of all, and right and pure, if they truly adorn the gospel, if they shine a brighter light on Jesus Christ, and if, as we said to the children, they really do water and cultivate the word that has been implanted in us, fine. But what happens in so many churches is that humanly contrived efforts become the main thing. Because it's these external things that get people excited and that they turn out for. And so, last August, Newsweek took a poll among evangelicals and found that two-thirds of them, 65%, believe that Jesus is a created being, not the eternally begotten Son of God. Oh, sure, they know how to fill the seats. But in their prideful use of human methods, they've confused crowds with the growth of the kingdom and feelings with the movement of the Spirit. And to the extent that they draw the crowds by their own cunning and craft, they're not growing the kingdom, as that poll indicates. Only the seed of God's Word can do that. Hebrews says the Word of God is living and active, like a seed. And so the pastor preaches that Word, and the seed is planted in your heart and cultivated. And then you go out and you share that faith, or you invite somebody to come with you so they can hear the gospel. Or you tell somebody about the hope that is in you, of the forgiveness of sins and of life forever in Jesus Christ. Or you put an arm around some guilt-ridden Christian and you remind them of their baptism, who they are in Jesus Christ, and of the power of His blood to wash away every sin. And you encourage them to come back to the supper of Jesus' body and blood for the forgiveness of their sins, for the cultivating of that faith. And it is through not human means, but it's through the preaching, through your witness, through the baptism, through the supper, that that seed goes to work by itself. As Christ says, the earth produces by itself. First the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. So, why does it so often look like the seed of God's Word is not working? Not changing lives, not producing the fruits that we'd like to see. Well, let me tell you, every prophet of Israel that was true to the Word of God asked that same question. Why isn't the Word of God doing what I want it to do? And Jesus Himself might have asked that question when His preaching of the Word turned people away in droves. But again, Jesus says, my friend, the growth of the seed is not your concern, because the Spirit of God blows where He wills, not where you will. Don't let what you see with your eyes replace your walk of faith. Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And so we have to trust the promise and the power of the seed. The kingdom of God will sprout and grow where and when He wills. So we just do what God has given us to do, each and every one of us to do. And we scatter the seed and leave the results to God. I'll grant you, it's a terrible business model, and it's certainly not the best way to get the crowds in. But it's the right and the only model for ministry in Christ's church, for the sowing of His seed. Just as that seed has to die and be buried before it can produce fruit, so too must we die and be buried. We have to die to our fear, trusting instead that God goes with us wherever we scatter that seed. And we must die to our prideful notions that God's Word needs a boost from us, that He needs our cunning, our efforts, for the seed to be productive, as if the seed doesn't have power in itself. And we must bury any thoughts that we might have that the growth of the Word should happen our way and according to our timeline. But instead, what we need to do is we need to focus our lives, as the children of God, we need to focus our lives on living our baptism in front of the eyes of the world, and letting that Word of God that has been implanted in us, first of all, have its way with us. conforming us day by day to the image of Christ, with unwavering fidelity to God and selfless love for our neighbor. Because that's what it looks like to die and to rise with Jesus to a newness of life, to be a new creation, as we read today. And then the light of Christ, the joy of His salvation, the peace that is beyond understanding will shine forth from us, causing others to glorify our Father in heaven. So does preaching do any good? Does it do any good to scatter the seed of God's Word? Well, Jesus answered, yes. Yes, always. But leave the growth to me. So, fellow St. John members, your seed bag is full of the good word of Jesus Himself, of life and of salvation through faith in the One who laid down His life for us and rose in victory over sin and Satan. Scatter it. Scatter that word, and do so recklessly and fearlessly, knowing that that seed, some of it, will grow and produce in God's own time and in God's way by itself, just as it did in you. And when the Lord puts in the sickle and brings in the harvest, we will rejoice to be in His garner forever. Let us pray. May the Spirit's power unceasing bring to life the hidden grain, daily in our hearts increasing, bearing fruit that shall remain. So in Scripture, song, and story, Savior, may Your voice be heard. Till our eyes behold Your glory, give us ears to hear Your word. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.